You know, our Lord says, a prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house. This is why a lot of times priests are not put in their home parishes. You know, after they're ordained, we're assigned parishes, and very rarely are priests put in the parishes they came from because of exactly what our Lord saw. Priests will be standing up here preaching, and let's be honest, people in the congregation will be going, "That's nice of you to say, but I remember when you were in high school and you did X, Y, and Z." Prophet is not without honor except in his own native place. You know, it's very easy for people to remember the past. And that's what happened to our Lord. The people in Nazareth thought they knew who Jesus was. After all, he'd grown up there. They knew his father Joseph was a carpenter, that our Lord took over that role of carpenter from Joseph. They knew Mary, they knew his cousins, they knew all these people. So how can he then come back after traveling around and suddenly he knows all these things and he's sitting here preaching to us? Now, I'm sure our Lord didn't have any skeletons in his closet or anything like that that the people had used against him, but they still were like, "But you're just a carpenter. What makes you think you can stand here in the synagogue and preach to us? What makes you think you can do these miracles in our town?" They couldn't believe that he said what he said and that he did what he did. They just couldn't. And the reason for that is a very common principle. Familiarity breeds contempt. If we're familiar with something, we can become so familiar with it, we almost become contemptuous of it. The Israelites fell into this trap way too often, because God was so close to them that they would become familiar with him. They would first become complacent with God's law, and then eventually would become rebellious against his law. And it was a cycle they would go through over and over and over throughout the old covenant. You know, first of all, they'd be faithful to God. You know, they were brought into the Holy Land, and they were faithful to him. They were worshiping him as he's called to do. They were following his laws. But then they'd start to slowly drift away and start to drift to the false gods of the other nations. And more and more and more would drift over to these false gods. And eventually the majority of Israel was following false gods instead of the true God of Israel. And so God would send a prophet. He would send someone to call Israel back. And more times than not, Israel would at best ignore the prophet. Just, "Yeah, whatever, go away, go preach somewhere else." You know, there's one prophet where actually the king says that, you know, go proclaim elsewhere, don't do it here. Or worse yet, the prophet would be killed for calling Israel back to the God of Israel. Well, eventually Israel would have something happen. There would be some oppression, some difficulty. And the people of Israel would like, "Oh, we messed up. We need to come back." They'd call back to the God of Israel, seeking his forgiveness, which of course he would give. And they would return to him. And it would repeat over and over and over throughout the cycle of the old covenant. This, they become familiar with God and they'd fall away from him and come back. As I said, the people in Nazareth had this same problem. You know, they see our Lord and they just couldn't understand. They became so upset by what our Lord was doing because they didn't understand how he could be doing these things and preaching these things. And so it said they took offense at him. They became offended that our Lord would dare stand in their synagogue and preach to them. I mean, he was a young man. He was only 30 years old. How dare he preach to them? You know, but they became offended. They didn't understand and they didn't want to understand. They didn't seek understanding of who our Lord was. And that's why they became offended. And this is kind of a human reaction that we have. If we're confronted with something we don't understand and it upsets us, we can become offended. Well, a lot of times when we become offended, it shuts down any rational conversation. Our ears become closed to what is being said to us. We're so upset. We're just, "How dare they say that? How dare they attack us like that?" and we are closed. We can't hear what they're saying. It closes us to the truth. And this is a problem that sadly has become very widespread in our country. That people will become offended because you disagree with them on certain issues. Issues of human sexuality and gender. Issues of racism and sexism. Issues of life. Who should be permitted to live and who can be legally killed. These are issues in our country today that if you even dare voice opinion against them, they'll be offended and shout you down. Try to shut you up because all discourse is gone. This is why all these companies, up until a couple of days ago, for a month, had the rainbow flag as their logos on Twitter and Facebook and everything else. Because you dare not disagree with pride. Almost ironic, isn't it? It's pride that leads us to this problem, and it's pride that is celebrated. And it's offensive to dare say that that might be wrong. That might not be what's best for them. That might be harmful for them. Don't you dare say that. It's seen as a personal attack. I disagree with you, therefore I am attacking you, is what they will say. But that's not the case. And this should concern us because more and more we are seeing that this offense, being called offensive, then leads to an attack back at us. And this shouldn't surprise us. History shows that there will be periods that it will be difficult to live our faith, be difficult to be Catholic, even in this country where we hold so dear our freedoms. Interesting, of course, today being the 4th of July, we celebrate these freedoms. And even in this country where we hold our freedoms so dear, our freedoms are under attack by this mindset of I'm offended, therefore I'm going to oppose you. One example that has been ongoing now for not quite a decade, but it's coming pretty close, is a group of religious sisters who run nursing homes. They care for the elderly. And ever since the Affordable Care Act was signed, they have had lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit because in their religious observance, they do not think they should be required to provide contraception as part of their insurance. They're not saying that their employees can't use it. They're just saying we should not have to pay for it because we object to it on a religious ground, freedom of religion. And the government has repeatedly sued these sisters, and oh, by the way, lost every time, to force them to do this. Again, the sisters aren't preventing anyone from having this medication. They're just saying we should not have to provide it. In addition to that, kind of about the same time these lawsuits started occurring, there was a change in language of how people expressed our freedom as given in the Constitution. The Bill of Rights says that we have a freedom of religion. And what that means is we have the freedom to practice our faith as we see fit, both in the church and in the public square. We have this right. This is a right guaranteed to us by the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. However, about the time those lawsuits were starting, the language flipped. People started talking about a freedom to worship, which means the freedom to come here on Sunday. And that's it. Nothing out there. Nothing about practicing our faith outside of the doors of this church. Seems subtle. Seems simple. But it's one of the fronts on this attack that makes it more difficult for us to practice our faith. Because our faith is not a private, just inside the church faith. To be a practicing Catholic should influence everything we do. Everything. should be influenced by our faith, including our political involvement, our speech, our freedom of speech should be influenced by what we believe as Catholics, by following our Lord and not the whims of the world. And of course, if you oppose the world, it pushes back. And that's what we call persecution. And so that's a fear that we should have with this offense culture, if you want to call it that, where I'm offended because you disagree with me. Because there are areas of church teaching that they do find offensive. We should be prepared that persecution will come. Now, I don't know when. I'm not going to stand up here and predict exactly when it's going to happen. But it will happen. And it may very likely happen in our lifetimes. And so we need to be prepared. And we prepare first and foremost by being like St. Paul in accepting it as a weakness that makes us strong in Christ. You know, this is what St. Paul's talking about, where he received, you know, punishment and persecutions and injuries. I mean, he was literally stoned, literally, like the real sense of stone, not on marijuana, but actually had stones thrown at him. Literal stones thrown at him. You know, sticks and stones may break my bones. Well, he found that one out. Several times that happened. And yet he embraced the strength that comes from Christ. He received those difficulties with humility and with a love for our Lord. And so we need to strengthen our faith by being open to practicing it, by being open to learning about it. Not assuming we know what our faith is about, but embracing it and developing that solid foundation in our faith, that if these difficulties do arise, or when they arise, we're ready. That we can weather that storm of persecution, of difficulty, and be able to say, like St. Paul, that when I am weak, it is then that I am strong. I am strong in Christ. He is our strength that we need at those moments. I am weak in the eyes of the world, I am strong in the eyes of God. That is our challenge. Because we do have this idea of familiarity breeding contempt. That we are so familiar with our faith. Instead, we need to become familiar with our Lord. So familiar that we love him and desire to be with him, to have that foundation in our lives. Not allowing it to lead to contempt, but allowing it to lead to his foundation. So that when those difficulties and persecutions come, we can overcome them. We can weather them and eventually be led to a place where there is no more persecutions, our eternal life in heaven.